Well, good morning, everyone. As Gary said in the introduction, we did have a wedding here yesterday, and it was very beautiful from my perspective. And thank you for your prayers. I know you would have gotten invitations and would have come if you could have, but we had the Storms, we had the Hillebrands, we had the McDaniels representing you at the wedding yesterday, and I may have overlooked somebody else there, but we had a wonderful time and thank the Lord. We're in a series that I started in August on five things the Lord requires of his children. And it's from Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And we're about the fourth message into the series now. And we're moving to the second category of the five things that the Lord requires. And this one is to walk in all his ways. You know, to walk with somebody means a lot of things are happening simultaneously. And I'd like to use my daughter Sophia and now her husband Angelo just as a little bit of an example. So as we talk about what it means to walk with somebody, I'm thinking of the two of them. And if you've been around people that are engaged or newly married, you know that they enjoy walking with each other, and they walk with each other a little bit different than people that don't know each other on a sidewalk in the street might walk alongside of each other. And so walking in God's ways, let's think for just a moment what it would be like picturing in your mind actually physically walking alongside of the Lord Jesus. And if you have the printout for the notes today, you can see in the upper right-hand corner the picture of the road to Emmaus. I've used this picture often over the years. It's meaningful to me, visualizing Christ being present with us and walking along his side, and even other believers there and present also walking with us with Jesus. And it ministers so much to me to recognize that we don't have to wait for heaven to be able to walk with the Lord. He invites us to a personal walk with them in the here and now. So to walk with somebody means spending time with each other. And Sophia and Angelo spent all the time they could together as they were engaged. And now they get to spend a lot more time with each other. But in walking with the Lord, we have to realize that it's even a better walk than we can have with individual people here on earth, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. Our spouses, you know, there's times where we're not physically in each other's presence. And then as the Lord tarries his coming, one spouse would die and leave the other spouse widowed. And so it's a temporary thing. But with Christ, we're never alone. Never alone. He is the one that has promised to never leave us or forsake us. So walking with somebody and walking with the Lord means spending time with each other. Secondly, walking with someone means talking with each other. And what goes along with talking is listening. Probably one of the most powerful ways, practically speaking, that I've experienced oneness with the Lord is in prayer. And particularly when I take and make the effort to pray verbally out loud. It seems like when we pray silently, our mind can wander pretty quickly, and go off all sorts of places. But when you're talking to the Lord out loud, it really helps to focus on him. You might ask the question of yourself, am I walking with the Lord these days? I would suggest that you answer the question, are you talking with the Lord? If you're talking with the Lord, chances are you're going to have a better possibility of walking with him as well. Angelo and Sophia talked a lot. If you know Sophia, she loves to talk. And Angelo loved to listen to Sophia talking. Number three, to walk with somebody means being in agreement with each other, at least to the extent that you can walk next to each other. Now, with the Lord, we can be in perfect agreement with him as long as we are submitting to him and surrendering to him. But that applies to earthly relationships as well. The more two are in agreement with each other, the more meaningful and significant and helpful their walk with each other will be. The Word of God tells us, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so even relationships that are struggling or have some stress, there has to be a measure of agreement or they wouldn't be walking together at all. May God help us to be in perfect agreement with the Lord so that our communication with him and agreement with him would be everything that he would have us to have. Number four, engaging in a common purpose is really a part of walking with somebody. This is the productive part of walking together. Usually there's some purpose or we wouldn't be walking together. It might be getting to a certain destination. But frankly, when Sophia and Angelo were walking together, it almost didn't matter which way they were going. The walk itself was almost the destination, if you will. But with the Lord, we do have a destination, and we are walking in sync with him, and it is for the purposes that he has for our lives. There's a reason for the walk itself. You know, if the purpose of our salvation was just immediately to be absent from this body and present with the Lord, the moment you receive Christ as Savior, he would take us home to be with him in heaven. But that's not his purpose. So you can know that whatever this path that he has for us to walk right now is part of his design. And it's a purposeful part of his design. And so whatever the qualities and the strengths and the weaknesses that we're experiencing on this road with him, it is for a purpose. And sometimes we look at the challenges and stresses of life as being counterproductive to, a successful walk with the Lord. But it's probably a little bit of a misguided thought from us, because he is the one that, if you will, allows us to go through the health challenges, to the pressures of work, to the extended family or even nuclear family stresses and troubles that we might encounter. But he has promised to be right there with us through all of these things in this walk. It's a glorious thing if we get a handle on that concept. Number five, to walk with somebody means sharing life experiences with each other. Sometimes we jokingly say, and we've all been there probably, where we're waiting for such and such to happen so that we can begin what we think is real life. But frankly, life is what happens while we're waiting for the next thing to happen. And so don't lose track of the moment and the now in this walk with the Lord, because this is exactly what he has ordained for us, that the process is probably as important as the destination and the ending of the matter. And so what happens along this path of walking with the Lord is so critically important to glorifying him and to our fulfillment and sense of well-being in this life experience. But you can know that Jesus is there experiencing whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through at this time. So if it's health challenges, if it's pain, if it's emotional, if it's financial, if it's social, all these things the scripture tells us that Jesus is aware of and has experienced the same trials and testings that we experience. And so he is a faithful high priest, sympathizes with us, and he also gives us the fullest measure of his grace to get us through and even be more than conquerors on this path of walking with him. The sixth thing about walking with somebody means relying. relying on each other to help in time of need. And that's probably the moment that we most think about the Lord, is when we're in desperate need and we're crying out to him and asking him to be near. He's been near us the whole time. If we're born again and if we're his children, he has never left us. So it's our attention to or awareness of his proximity that needs to get in alignment. And I think it's okay to, as David prayed in the Psalms, he's such a great example for us because the scriptures record the emotional side of this walking with the Lord experience, as he just asked the Lord, "Where are you? Have you forsaken me?" And of course, the answers to all of those questions is God was with David and he never forsook David. He is with us and he will never, ever forsake us. God has never been unfaithful, ever. And he never will be unfaithful. So we can rely on him. Now, most of the things that we've been talking about are a two-way street. And I was thinking for a moment, does Christ rely on us? Does God need us? Well, those are big questions. But I do know that he asks us to do things for him. We're to love him with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to serve him with gladness. We're to walk in this Holy Spirit. I mean, there's almost a limitless list of things that the scriptures tell us that describe this walk that are our responsibility, our side of the equation. All of those kind of boil down to just surrendering to him. By faith, believing in him, and then being in a position of asking him, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And as we rely on him for everything, we can be faithful as his servants, as his voice and witnessing, as his hands and feet and going places and ministering his love to others. It's a wonderful thing to walk with the Lord. Additionally, I think walking with Jesus is all those six things I just mentioned, but it is also establishing a closer relationship with God. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he made them in his own image. And this was so that there could be an intimate relationship between the created being, man and woman, and their creator God. And it was so much more than the relationship that the creator God has with rocks and trees and planets and stars and animals, who were not made in God's image. But for men and women, boys and girls, created in the image of God, it is for the purpose of relationship with God. And walking in his ways deepens and makes fulfilling and accomplishes his purpose and design for us to be in relationship with him. Do you think that you could have a relationship with somebody on earth that you never talked to, never saw, never heard anything about, or had no interest in knowing? That wouldn't be much of a relationship. Now, we have some of those relationships. We're actually related to everybody else on the earth, right? We're part of all descendants from Adam and Eve. So we're related in that standpoint, but there's no walk with them. Now, you could say on a global sense that we're in the same boat here, and that would be another whole part of our responsibility to the world, but it's not a close walk or even a walk with them. But with walking with Christ, it means deepening and relationship our walk with God, because Jesus is God. Secondly, walking with Jesus means that the fellowship with God can grow sweeter and sweeter and closer each day. That's what happens the longer we're with somebody. And as long as the willingness and the attitude is there of love and of deepening the relationship, the fellowship can just get gooder and gooder, right? Better and better, sweeter and sweeter each day. And may God bless us to have that be our experiencing and experience in walking in God's way, such a close communion and fellowship with Him. Also, the more you walk with somebody and spend time with them, you actually become more like that person. And that's our goal here, is to be more and more like Jesus. It's God's ordained will that we should be transformed more and more into the image of Christ until that day that we actually see Him face to face, and we will be like Him and will know Him, and He will know us in the most clear and perfect sense. So may God bless us all to, in our walk with Him, to become more and more like Jesus. Do you remember the account from the book of Acts where the disciples, I don't remember the reference here, but other people could tell that they had been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great thing for all of us if people looked at us and spent any time with us and conversing with us, that they would sense, without us telling them, that we are like Jesus? That would be a great thing. Back to Sophia and Angelo for a moment. In their experience now as husband and wife, may God bless them in their marriage relationship to be more and more like Jesus to each other. And may God bless all of our marriages in that way. And then we're actually fulfilling the purpose for which we were created when we walk in God's way. And that ultimately ends at the destination of doing all to the glory of God. The second side of your handout, walking in the way, and I've capitalized all the letters here, the way, because Jesus said, I am the way. So if you're going to walk in the ways of God, in all of His ways, you're going to start and continue and finish by knowing that Jesus is the way. He summarizes everything that it means to walk with the Lord. So number one, knowing the way. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at the exclusivity of the end of that verse, John 14:6. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is not only the way, He is the only way. And this is not politically correct in our era. It actually has not been politically correct in a sin-cursed world, because forever and a day, man, apart from God, seeks to make their own way. And it's part of the fabric of a prideful, sinful life to say, I don't need anybody, and I certainly don't need or want God. And that's the essence of rebellion and sin against God, is excluding Him from one's life and rejecting relationship and fellowship with Him. And the opposite of those, and finding the purpose for life and having the greatest measure of fulfillment in life, and a life that is accomplishing what we are here for, all comes from knowing the way, which is Jesus Christ. And even the Old Testament saints, before Jesus came and was born as a baby, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, even before all of that, Abraham, Job, Adam and Eve, right from the garden on, knew that the Redeemer was coming, the one way of salvation, the one way that would restore the broken fellowship with God. And so their faith in and belief in the Redeemer, they were saved the same way we are, looking back at Christ's death, you know, by 2,000 years. We're saved the same way, by faith through God's grace. And it's a exclusive thing. And we have to be probably wise as we can be, but believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to let people know that Jesus is the way, and that apart from him, they won't know the truth, and they will not have eternal life apart from Jesus. Also, walking in the way means following the way. There are several references in the book of Acts that refers to believers as followers of the way. This was before believers were called Christians. So people would say, "Are you a follower of the way?" Or in derision, they would say, "Oh, they are followers of the way." That's because the focus early on with evangelism and the New Testament church was they got it. Jesus was the way. And so they were followers of the way. May God help us to really get this down as we, and I'm not saying it's all tied to my preaching this series here on walking God's way, but this is the truth. We need to walk in God's ways. And hopefully our series here will help us to get the tools that we need to better walk with the Lord. Also, the living and written word of God is tied to walking in the way. Again, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus went on later to say, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And he also said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth, 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 and it begins and ends in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So wherever you come, whatever is on your mind theologically or doctrinally these days, because we all think about something that's got our attention from the scriptures, folks, I would encourage you, whatever the topic is that you're dealing with doctrinally in your personal life or in counseling somebody else, and every one of those, what is the connection to Jesus, who is the truth? And he, and as you know the truth, you will be set free. And it's revolutionizing if we can get our thoughts always coming back to and focusing on Christ. We do this in our personal devotions, our reading, our memorizing, meditating, obeying the Word of God. Other prayers, intercessions, supplications, intercessions, praising God, all of those things help us to walk in his ways. And it's a demonstration that we are walking in his ways. Other thing I like to think about often is the presence of the Lord with me throughout the day. And if the more we're walking in our flesh, the more we're depending on ourselves, the more likely it is that you can go several hours or even a whole day without even thinking about God. Now, God forbid, as we mature in Christ, that that would be true of us. And we would like the opposite to be true, where throughout the day, we are aware of the presence of God. I was really encouraged about a year and a half ago to pull down again from the shelf Brother Lawrence's letters and notes on practicing the presence of God. He lived centuries ago in France, but he was consumed with a knowledge and experience of the love of God in his life. And he measured his words and conversations even while he was sweeping and, if you will, doing dishes, whatever the menial things of life was, he was doing it with a conscious awareness of the love of God in his life. And so anybody that was alongside of him, that he was talking to, they could sense and they could feel the love of God flowing from this man's life to them. It would be a good short read for you to get a hold of the book. And I'm sure it's probably available free online, Practicing the Presence of God, Brother Lawrence. It would be a good encouraging read for you. I'm reminded, it was said of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers there in England. living about the same time that D.L. Moody lived. They were contemporaries, one here in the States and one in Great Britain, England. But it's said of Spurgeon that he, and it's not that, you know, it was anything of a proudful thing, but it was just an observance, and people could tell this about him, that, and it's said that he didn't go 15 minutes during his day without a conscious awareness of the presence of God, his sovereignty in his life, his grace flowing to him, his desire to be in fellowship with the Lord. And folks, that's a worthy goal to have, is to just have that God awareness in our life. And it means that we're walking with him intelligently and purposefully. That's what my encouragement is to us here today, is to be intentional in desiring and then walking with the Lord. Another book that was written, and I have not done a fresh read of this book, but I'm aware that it's there, is the book by Charles Sheldon, What Would Jesus Do? And I think, as I remember it, it's a very encouraging book and a concept. And sometimes, and some of us have seen these little wrist plates, bracelets, WWJD, right? WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And so people wear that little wrist bracelet to remind them in all of their life circumstances and situations the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then you need to follow it up quickly, what would Jesus have me do in this situation? And that's not a bad practical way to be thinking, how can I be more intentional in personally in walking with the Lord? Now, the next section, I'm actually going to take us through scriptures that talk about walking with the Lord. And I don't think we'll have time to cover all the points that I have on your handout here for today, but we'll pick up where we leave off here. So if you want to open your Bibles, we can turn to Deuteronomy 5:33, which says, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land. If we pick and choose when, where, how much we walk with God, folks, we're not really walking with God. If we're in the driver's seat on this matter of walking and picking and choosing, you are missing the fabric of walking with God. You know, on the desire level, it has to be, we are anxious to walk with him. We are excited. I know, back to my daughter and new son-in-law, if one of them was the first on the scene and they were alone and the other one showed up, you couldn't keep them from gravitating toward each other, right? They just desired to be with each other. And on the desire side, God desires to be with us. So any distance between us is all of us. And so our desire needs to be for the Lord. And it needs to be more than anything else. Our walk with the Lord needs to be more than our necessary physical food. So to spend time with the Lord in his word in the morning, in the Bible, in the prayer, should be more important than getting breakfast. That's just a practical way of looking at it. But it's more important than anything else if you are really walking with the Lord. So number one, walk in all of God's ways. And it's God's choosing for us what those ways will be. Let's turn to Jeremiah 7:23. Jeremiah 7:23. Walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. God will make things to go well for those who walk with him. Now, right away, And if you're mature in the Lord, you know this is not a guarantee that everything will be rosy in your life just because you walk in God's way. In fact, probably it means that you're going to have a greater set of trials to God's glory because you are walking with the Lord. Think for a moment of Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers after their first thought was just to kill him outright. But then God never left Joseph, and he went through cruel trials, bitter personal and emotional trials and struggles. And I don't think he ever saw his mother again. He did see his father after many, many years again. Just hard, hard things in Joseph's life, but God was with him through all of that. And it was to the glory of God that Joseph went through those things. Think of David watching his father's sheep, a lion and a bear attacked. It was a tough time, but God used that experience later to equip David to have faith and confidence and trust and boldness in God to kill the Philistine giant Goliath. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. These are all people that were walking with God whose path was not easy. And so mark it down that it is God that will make things go well for the people that walk with him. And I like the trite saying, God writes the final chapter. I just finished reading for the first time in my life, Uncle Tom's Cabin. I've never seen a book that was so filled in the middle chapters to the end of the book with the gospel of Jesus Christ being presented as the way of truth and salvation for a person's eternal salvation, as well as for a society to follow with respect to things going well when people are in sync with the Lord. Actually, you can probably find illustrations everywhere you look, because God is in the process of making all things turn out for good for those who love him. And if you are of this mindset as a believer, in whatever the circumstance and situation that you are experiencing and feeling, you're going to come around to this perspective, and it will just lift your soul and your spirit to realize that in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, that God is especially using this to work some great good into your life. And so your focus is not on the trial or the testing or the tribulation. Your focus is on Jesus, who is allowing it and who is giving you his grace to go through it and will never leave you. He's right there with us, and he will bring us through. And Job said, in the midst of all of his trials, where he lost all his children, he lost all his possessions, he lost his personal health, he said, after losing all of those things, because his desire to walk with the Lord was greater than all of those possessions, he said, though God slay me, still I will trust in him. And did God write the final chapter for Job? He did. He did. And he will write the final chapters for all of us. Praise God. Well, I think that's as far as we'll go with the scriptures here for today. I think it would be just good if we lived together with everybody and we could just spend most of the hours of the day going through his word. Wouldn't that be great? But that's not where we're at right at the moment here. Let me pray with you and for us all. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the words of life. Where else could we go, as Peter said? We can't go anywhere else for the truth. We can't go anywhere else for the life. And Lord, I pray that you would bless and encourage this congregation, this set of a household of faith that is meeting together, Lord, in the things of you. Individually, that we would be walking as close as we know and as surrendered with love and the fear of God in our hearts and our minds, with desire, appropriating the fullest measure of your grace, which you freely bestow on all of us, to have an intimate and close walk with you to your glory. Bless each one here and within the hearing and watching of this message, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. It's great to be with you.